Welcome to the 10th episode of Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits. Tonight we're going to be changing things up a little bit, and we're going to be talking about bourbon. So,
believe it or not, we know less about bourbon than we do about scotch.
I know, hard to imagine.
Hard to imagine that we know less about something, but it's true.
That's right. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about Trader Joe's bourbon, and we have also...
Woodinville Straight Bourbon.
And Elijah Craig's Small Batch.
All right. So first up tonight is a Trader Joe's, and they don't distill it, of course, but it's distilled by Buffalo Trace, although it's not in the same facility as their primary distillery. They distill some other products at another location. It's their Barton 1792 distillery, and they make other bourbons there like 10 High, Very Old Barton, and 1792 Ridgemont Reserve as well. So I guess we'll dive into that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. It's kind of shallow.
That's true. It's a small dive, but you know, we'll see.
Okay.
Hmm. Smells good.
Now, to me, it smells a little raw, but it tastes... less raw.
Yeah, it does smell raw to me.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Marlis is right as usual.
Mm-hmm.
It does not taste as raw as it smells. In fact, I don't think it tastes raw at all, really.
No.
I mean,
we're drinking it neat, so there's a little bite, but that's mm-hmm. true of all of them. And it's perfectly pleasant.
Yeah, I like it. Do you remember how, by the way, Marlis had brought, all these bourbons were in Marlis's liquor cabinet.
Yeah.
She's quite something.
Yeah, we didn't go out and select on based on theme at all. We just, like, what do I have?
Here? I have three bourbons. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we only had one. Mm-hmm. We had the Woodinville, so we didn't bring it because that's what you had.
And if it's going to be called bourbon, it has to be at least 51% corn.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what the percentages are on this Trader Joe's brand. We do on some of the others, mm-hmm. but it's usually corn and either rye or sometimes wheat and malted barley.
Right.
So,
yeah.
It's this is actually tasty.
Mm-hmm. Next in the lineup is the Woodinville Straight Bourbon Whiskey, which is a product of Washington, our home state. In fact, we probably go to that distillery once a year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're usually going up there to go to the winery, but we stop at the Woodinville Distillery while we're there, and I always do a tasting and almost always buy a bottle of something.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing they make, since I'm going to plug Woodinville a little bit, is they make some really great maple syrup. It's like a bourbon maple syrup.
That is
syrup,
yeah,
I guess.
It is excellent.
Very good.
It is truly wonderful. And they give you a taste of that at the end of your tasting.
They also do a straight American whiskey. They do a rye whiskey. Mm-hmm. And
I like all of them.
Yeah. One other variation in there someplace. But they're all they're all pretty good.
So this is, as it says, a truly small batch bourbon. And it starts with the grown corn and rye and malted barley. And they were all the grains were cultivated in Quincy, Washington. So this is a true Washington bourbon, which, of course, you know, bourbon is traditionally Kentucky.
Yes, Washington is not exactly on the bourbon trail yet. But
bourbon, I mean, that's one thing we guess we should have started with, like, the history of bourbon and how it got its name. And what my little book that I got for, I think I got it for Christmas from Marlis, is The Curious Bartender, An Odyssey of Malt Bourbon and Rye Whiskies. And it talks about how the U.S. was very appreciative of Louis XVI for his help during the American Revolution, that I guess in the part of the country now known as Kentucky started naming a lot of things after his house name, which they say is bourbon. So that's, I guess, how the name came about. Mm-hmm. But they say people in Britain get confused by the name bourbon because to them, bourbon is a chocolate biscuit, or for us in America, a chocolate cookie.
Mm-hmm.
So they get kind of confused by the name bourbon whiskey. Mm. So, okay. Woodinville. Mash is 72% corn, 22% rye, and 6% barley. And it's casked in a new charred oak for 5 to 6 years. And it's alcohol by volume is 45%, and it runs around $55. Mm-hmm. Now, this doesn't have nearly the same raw aroma. Mm-hmm.
Much mellower.
Yeah.
Much mellower.
Much smoother.
I get more tongue tingly on it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say what the alcohol was on the Trader Joe's? Does it say?
I didn't say, but it's 45%.
No, so it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the tongue tinglies on the Trader Joe's, but I got the tongue tinglies on the Woodinville. But it tastes, mm-hmm. I like both.
Now, for me, the Woodinville is much mellower. The Trader Joe's is kind of upfront, sweet, caramel, you know, all that kind of stuff, vanilla. This one is a little, you have to kind of go looking for the taste a little more, but it's very tasty. This is actually one of my favorites, I have to admit.
Mm-hmm.
Marlis, do you remember how much you paid for the Trader Joe's?
I don't.
In fact,
I think someone may have brought it for a party and left it.
Because I was going to say, why would you buy... You don't usually buy bourbon.
No.
It's listed on here at $15.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which would...
Which I was going to say, if it's Trader Joe's, it probably wasn't horribly spendy.
No. And the Woodinville is more expensive. Now, I heard that Woodinville got bought up by one of the large distillery managing companies, and... they were kind of wondering, it's kind of a young distillery to be bought up. But they said, you know, it really is pretty good quality for what they can do and what they can handle so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always found it very pleasant. It has a sweet mellowness. It's not that kind of upfront in your face that some bourbons are. But I think it's just a very nice sipping bourbon.
What other kind of bourbon would there be?
Well, things that you mix with.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were like bolting it or something.
No, chugging bourbon.
Chug, Marlis.
No.
Oh, okay.
Not since my Navy days.
Okay. Me never. Or maybe it was like those old Westerns where they belly up to the bar and.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
Kind of back a shot.
All right. Well, so, it is a nice amber color.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's lovely.
And it says on their notes here that the nose is brown sugar, vanilla, herbal spice, and an overall candy sweetness with a bit of raw wood, sawdust, banana, and nuts. I'm pretty sure I don't taste the raw wood and banana. I mean, sawdust, but the rest of it is a possibility.
Yeah. Well, and another thing, to be classified as officially as a bourbon, it has to be aged in new American oak casks, charred.
Mm-hmm.
And the charring evidently helps release a lot of the vanilla tastes in the wood and just adds to flavor generally. And then that's actually one of the most expensive things about making bourbon is buying all that oak and the barrels, and they have to be... I've been reading about this afternoon, you know, and they'll have some barrels that will have some staves of, you know, French oak in there to give them a different flavor, and there's various... techniques for charring the barrels, and it all gets extremely complicated. But then they actually get to recoup some of the costs because they sell those bourbon barrels to Scotch distillers in Scotland and to other people who are making other types of spirits. And so, hey, you know, you get to recoup some of your investment at that point.
It's a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, Marlis, you have?
Yes. Well, according to what I was reading... Elijah Craig was an early Kentucky preacher and active character, it said. He was educator, road builder, land speculator, built paper and wool mills, but he was a gifted distiller and entrepreneur. Now, he was credited by some on introducing the charring of the barrels, and they're not exactly sure if that actually happened or if it's just kind of legend.
I also read in my little book that there's a dispute as whether Elijah Craig or Evan Williams were like the first premier bourbon distillers. Yeah.
So you know, one version of the legend is that there was a fire and it charred some of the barrels and he, you know, liked the change. Others have him storing his whiskey in former sugar barrels. and becoming impressed with how the charring the barrels improve the flavor, but no one really knows. And
well, it makes sense though, because mm-hmm. isn't that how most mm-hmm. things are developed, that by accident?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you know, Reese's peanut butter cups. You know, hey, how'd your peanut butter get in my chocolate? How'd your chocolate get? I mean, uh-huh. you know, hey, it's legend.
Could happen,
right?
Could happen.
Right.
Yeah.
How'd that char get in my bourbon?
Well, and another thing that's different from Scotch is that bourbon is usually distilled in this 70 feet tall column stills, and I'm not sure exactly how that works, but they're the distiller's beer drips slowly down a series of perforated copper plates while the steam blasts up and the alcohol vapors rise to the top, where they're captured, condensed, and then redistilled in the thumper. I have no idea what a thumper is.
Well, then you should read
mm-hmm.
The Curious Bartender and Odyssey of Malt, Bourbon, and Rye Whiskeys, because it has a whole chapter on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
I saw it.
Well, anyway, Elijah Craig, this is a small batch, which means that they take about 200 barrels, more or less, are selected to become the Elijah Craig small batch. And those barrels are aged from 8 to 12 years in their Kentucky warehouses, and then expertly combined to create their small batch. All so right. we're going to give this a little taste. Mm-hmm. So this should be between 8 and 12 years old.
You know, this one, I can actually smell the vanilla in this mm-hmm. one. The other two, I didn't mm-hmm. quite catch it. But
yeah.
this
oh,
one,
yeah.
I can totally smell the vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, John? Can you smell it?
Yeah, I get vanilla and caramel.
Yeah.
I just get a nice, really nice smell.
Yeah.
I think she's dabbing it behind her ears, folks.
A lovely,
I'm not.
Sweet smell.
Although that's not a bad idea. But
as long as you're not driving later. No.
Oh, that's smooth.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely smoother than the Woodinville.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of flavor.
So what was the mash bill on yours?
This is the Elijah Craig is 75% corn, 13% rye, and 12% malted barley. The alcohol volume is 47%. It's non-chill filtered, natural color.
Does it say how long it's aged?
Well, between 8 and 12 if it's small batch.
Okay.
So there will be a combination.
This is 5 to 6.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The other one.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the aroma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Very nice sipping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the reviews I read said, well, they still like the 12-year better, that the mixing of it, you know, from those different ages wasn't as good. But we can't all afford 12-year-old Elijah Craig. So mm-hmm. I think this is a really nice product. Basically, none of them are horrible.
Did that have a price on it?
Oh, it says $30. It would be, you know, which would probably be about $45 here.
Right.
I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So,
I'm getting some brown sugar out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's nice.
So time for
a little bit of water.
Adding a little bit of water.
Yeah. Well, at least I had the most of that. I'm not good at adding just little bits of water, you know, to something. It's like,
oh my god,
I seem to have tasted the Trader Joe's pretty thoroughly.
Oh,
didn't like that, did you?
I need a little bit more. Yeah.
Well, you have to compare while you go.
Well, that's
mm-hmm.
true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Off to a good start and all that.
Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, in terms of drinking it neat, all of these are perfectly pleasant. The Trader Joe's is a perfectly mm-hmm. nice daily bourbon. If you want to come home, sit by your fire or out in your yard and have a nice little bourbon, it's not going to break the bank, and it's not going to punch you in the face or anything. So it's...
Well, none of these will punch you in the face.
No, it's perfectly satisfying. Yeah. I like the Woodinville a lot, you know, but it's...
It's younger.
It's younger.
Yeah.
And, but it's still smoother than the Trader Joe's, but yeah. The Elijah Craig small batch is smoother still. So you kind of, you know, taste your way around. In general, I don't like bourbon as well as scotch because it's sweeter and because people tend to mix it with Coca-Cola or various other things, which...
Well, you could do that with scotch, too, if you want.
Oh, God, no.
I mean, not that you should.
Would just be a bad thing. I know.
You can mix anything with Coca-Cola.
I know.
Or Dr. Pepper.
I know. That kind of comes under the mad
scientist. If you're in Kentucky, it's probably Dr. Pepper.
Oh, do they really?
I don't know. I made it up.
All right.
You know I make everything up.
I know.
Pretty much.
I would be so sad.
I was going to ask you, I'm glad you mentioned the sweeter part, because I was going to ask you, when you taste, because I know you said before you went to a bar and you asked for a scotch and they brought you a bourbon and you knew immediately when you tasted it.
Oh, yeah.
And
very different.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I thought it would be like the sweeter mm-hmm. taste. Mm-hmm. It just has that slightly sweeter mm-hmm. thing on the tongue there.
Yeah.
So. All right, so we're going to try it with water. So the Kentucky, the Trader Joe's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm? I didn't really notice any difference.
Still good. I think it mellowed it a little.
Did it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I didn't put in enough water.
Yeah, it might.
I mean, it wasn't bad to begin with, but...
Mm-hmm. No, it's very tasty, though. And again, you know, for a hot summer day and you're sitting out under your oak tree or... sun umbrella or wherever you happen to be sitting, it's a perfectly nice little, and you can put ice in it and not feel like you're doing violence to a work of art or anything. It's just, you know,
though some may differ,
right. Mm-hmm.
they may not agree with you on that.
That's so possible.
If it's the end of a long day and you've been Ooh. Working outside and, you know, it's cold and wet, and you come in and take off your boots, dog's laying by the fire, cat's sitting on your lap.
Mm-hmm.
Have a couple sips
cat
of this.
Cat's peed on your slippers.
Hey.
Oh, no, that's our house. Sorry.
So harsh his buzz.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Jeez.
Well, I'm his wife. I'm supposed to harsh his buzz. That's my job. Isn't it my job?
Yeah, I was having like this.
I'm having a moment.
Yeah. This vision. You know?
Like being in the Scottish
this
pub.
This vision of comfort.
Well, you know my nickname at work is Dream Killer. So.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Anyway.
Living up to the dream.
Living up to that dream. So when I first, with the addition of the water, when I first sniffed my Woodinville, I think the water brought out the caramel notes.
Yeah.
Kind of the aroma. Yeah, and you can see why their maple syrup is so yummy.
It's so good.
Mmm. Mm. That makes me want to go to Woodinville and get some maple syrup.
It smells like maple syrup. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good.
Seriously, it's a lovely little distillery to go visit.
So. Yeah, if you're in Washington and never been there, it's one of the, and you like to go to distilleries, it's a must visit. You can wine taste
across the street
for the next 3 weeks
while you do, you know, visit the
distillery. Oh, yeah, all over that area, but right across the street from the Woodinville Distillery is the Janick Winery, or Novelty Hill, but
Janick,
it's Janick, yeah.
Which is wonderful.
They have some lovely, lovely wines there.
Mm-hmm.
We go there for a wine blending class where you get to go and blend like 5 different wines and make it, you know, make the blend of your taste. Oh, it's lovely. Anyway, I don't know if it really changed the flavor for me so much, but...
No, but it just
kind of... But the aroma just really broke out with that. So.
And incidentally, if you're into wine, the Pacific Northwest is amazing for wine. There's a ton of wine and wineries around.
Yeah. Well, Willamette Valley's got more wineries down in Oregon. More than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah, and Eastern Washington is famous for being wonderful territory for growing wine grapes. Good volcanic soil, because we still have volcanoes. And
we always will.
Yeah.
Unless they blow up totally.
Yeah. But there's a lot of really nice
We'd be
areas.
In the Ring of Fire.
And excellent hops if your thing is beer, too.
Yeah, Eastern Washington's good for that.
Yeah. So basically we have many, many things to recommend.
People like to drink here, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
Must be the rain.
Must be it. The Elijah Craig is lovely, too. With or without water, but it seems to, again, the aroma seems to have...
Enhanced, the water has enhanced the aroma.
And it hasn't really diluted the taste. Again, it's just diluted very mellow, very smooth.
I think
smooth.
It actually made it a little, the taste is a little more mellow to me. I think I have a more sensitive palate when it comes to alcohol.
Well, this is interesting because often when we're tasting scotch and we add a little water, we're like, nah, it didn't do much. But I think a teeny bit of water in your bourbon can be not a bad thing.
And maybe it's because it's not really our favorite thing. You know, we're none of us are bourbon fans particularly. I mean,
I like a nice bourbon.
Let's face it, if you don't have scotch, we'll drink the bourbon. But,
yes,
you know, because it's whiskey, and we like whiskey. But, John, you have a favorite from, because there's so many bourbons. We could spend just as long on bourbon probably as we do on scotch. But the one you get from Safeway, our local grocery store, is Samuel Grant.
Yeah.
We're not sure who makes that either. That's one of those that's bottled someplace.
It's kind of a mystery bourbon.
It's a mystery bourbon, but it's like inexpensive and... I enjoy that
one. It's really good. It's good for the price. Definitely, it's a low cost, but it's a decent tasting bourbon. So we tend to drink that when we drink bourbon a lot.
We drink bourbon a lot. Or we get it a lot when we drink bourbon.
We tend to drink that a lot when we drink bourbon.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There we go.
There you go.
There are people probably thinking, when do you guys stop drinking?
I know. We actually
don't.
Yeah.
Well, we do, but we don't.
Sometimes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, this has been very interesting.
Yeah.
And I have a new respect for Elijah Craig, which, again, I got as like a hostess gift. Someone brought it when I had a party. And I'm like, oh, I don't know this at all. You know, so I'm kind of really sort of getting into it. And it is a very tasty little booger.
And since we're doing bourbons, how about that bourbon collapse with all the barrels thing?
Yes.
Oh, where was that?
In Kentucky. Half of a warehouse collapsed.
Yesterday, Sandstone Distillery posted on their Facebook page that the other half, and it's just like, there's barrels and there's this just, you know, both walls are in, and they hadn't even started cleaning up the old barrels, the barrels from the first collapse, because of those issues about safety. Probably because they were afraid the other wall would collapse.
Well,
So I don't know who they hired for their
renovation. Those barrels are really big.
But, you know.
Those guys are probably on the hook.
Let's hope they were bonded and licensed.
And I read various things online, because, of course, you do. And some people would say, you know, oh, for heaven's sakes, the barrels are fine. That these huge, you know, 53-gallon barrels, they're going to last through anything. But then I read other stuff that, you know, the character of the bourbon depends not only on the grain and the water. Kentucky is well known for its limestone water. But also where the barrel is in the warehouse. If it's up at the top, it gets more extremes of temperatures, and that will affect the brew. If it's toward the bottom or in the middle, it gets less. If it's, you know, any number of things will affect it.
A lot of those barrels, you know, broke open. There's no way it couldn't. There's like, you know, a ton of wall just fell on top of it. Yeah. So,
well, I don't think the walls were that heavy, but the other barrels fell on top of it and crashed as that ran down the hill.
Tons of stuff.
And
tons of stuff, yes.
And the roof. I mean, the whole thing just went.
Yeah.
It was like a house of cars.
My goodness. Collapse.
One side went, and then two weeks, I think?
So it's very sad. Do we know what distillery it's from?
I don't remember.
I can't remember.
I remember it wasn't one I was familiar with, but it's bourbon, so that's not surprising.
It's still very sad.
It is very sad. Condolences to all bourbon lovers and the distillery, whoever you are. We should have looked that up, but I forgot. All righty then. Well, I guess that's it for our bourbon tasting for today. We can do others. At another time.
I'm sure we will.
I'm sure we will. We have many scotches to go and many other types of spirits to go.
And, in the hottest part of the summer, kind of late August, I'd like to do rum. I think that would be fun.
Why hot? So why when it's hot?
I don't know. I just associate rum with hot places.
Gin would be what you'd want to do.
Well, that's true.
Because that's what people... gin and tonic is what people do.
We'll see. Anyway,
we'll be doing other spirits on occasion.
Yeah.
We might have to take Marlis down on this one, but
no.
Rum typically comes from a warm part of the world.
Yeah, I doesn't. I wasn't saying it didn't.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, and you guys have a great evening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Skull.
Skull. Mm-hmm.